News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 14th of August, Anno Domini 2005. And you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we'll be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use.
But it's going to
be an interesting day. Thank you. It's good to be back.
I was gone, too. Hello.
You were?
We missed Rob. We had incredibly able people while he was gone, but we're glad that he's back. And oh, good, now he's out of the room and we can talk about him, and that's good. He was gone for a couple weeks. He had many things to do. I spent last week in the 14th century. Last weekend, I went to the Renaissance Festival. We went there for the 2 days.
Have a turkey drum?
Yeah, we did everything.
I would imagine over 2 days.
Yeah, over 2 days. Yeah, we had a great time. I didn't do much for my diet, but it did.
Well, it, you know, good. If it's a once a year thing,
that's
you
exactly
know?
Right. And we walked around a lot, so it was okay.
But you walked it off.
Whatever
your calories you were consuming, you were walking it off anyway. So.
Exactly. That's exactly
that's
what
all
we're
doing. You do around there as well.
Yeah, no kidding. You walk all the time. There are some great new acts this year and some of the old favorites, and it was terrific. We had a great time.
Perfect weekend.
It was the perfect weekend. The weather was terrific, and it was just a lot of fun. The funny part was we went to see this new act called the London Broil Show. The London Broil Show, and they're jugglers, and they were great. By the way, they were great. And then at the end, I'm wearing a T-shirt, a Linux T-shirt. It says Linux on the front, and on the back is the penguin. And at the end of the show, we're still sitting there discussing what we're going to do next. You know, Amelia's getting much better at the concept of sharing and taking turns when it's her turn and our
turn. She's a lot older. So
we were discussing where we were going to go next. And all of a sudden, I look up and one of the three performers is pointing this big knife at me. One of the knives they juggle, the big machetes, pointing at me. And it does something wrong. He goes, "Open source rules!"
They broke character. Wow.
No, no, no. The show was over. They were cleaning up.
Yeah.
They were cleaning up. Open source rules. So he comes over and we sat and we talked about Linux for about 15 minutes. My wife shaking her head. My daughter's rolling her eyes. And
you can't get away.
Yeah, it was very funny, actually. It was very funny. But the show was terrific. And we had a great time. We did it. We had a great, great time. So that was nice. But I'm glad to be back. I heard like the first 8 seconds of the show. You can get it there easy. I mean, it's 50,000 watts of clear channel power.
Yeah.
We got it there easy, but my wife kind of wasn't going to let me sit in the car and listen to the whole show. She made me go into the fair.
Yeah,
I don't know what that was about, but okay. I told her I'd have been in at 1. I'd have gone right in at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, there you go.
Not a problem, but no. I had to get out and pay for the tickets and everything else.
Well, you know.
But yeah, we had a great time.
You need it.
You know, like they say, if mama ain't happy,
ain't nobody
gonna be happy.
That's right.
And if you value your marriage,
that's right. We, you know, the deal is sometimes you compromise. I wanted to listen to the show. She wanted me to go in. We compromised. We went in.
Yes, that's the way it works.
Yeah. I have a rant. I gotta talk about it. I've been saving this one up. But first, let me give you the numbers just in case you missed them. If you want to give us a call and join in the mayhem and the merriment, you can give us a call. If you're in the 585 area code, the number is 222-1180. If you're outside the 585 area code, you can give us a call on the Choice One toll-free line at 800-295-1180. If you're a Verizon Wireless customer, it's star 1180. Do you get the theme there? The 1180 theme? 222-1180 for the local folks. Outside the local area, it's 295-1180. So all our long-distance listeners can give us a call. And, of course, star 1180 for the Verizon Wireless customers. But I have a rant. I have a rant. I have never in my life used a smiley. You know, the emoticons, the things they put, the little sideways things, all right?
Yeah.
I figured, I've always figured, you know what? If anybody ever takes anything I say seriously, they've got a problem. That's first.
It's
secondly, right. Secondly, if you're like satire impaired or humor impaired, then I don't want to talk to you anyway. So I've never used a smiley in my whole entire life.
Yeah.
I'm going to start.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to put smileys in everything.
Wait.
I'm going to use
them constantly
from now on. Microsoft has patented the smiley. They've patented smileys. The whole concept of emoticons.
How can they?
Because somebody at the patent office is a moron.
No one else did.
Well, there's enough prior art that somebody should have said, yeah, I don't think so.
What about the
someone? Yeah, someone else has to prove that they did it first.
How can they patent something that they didn't draw? What about the original?
Oh, no, that's not the way it works. It's not the way it works in the patent office. If you don't patent it and I do, I win.
Yeah,
that's the way it works. It's that simple.
Wasn't a couple years ago someone patented the wheel?
Yeah, somebody patented the wheel. I'm waiting for fire next. That would probably be a patent, too.
I'm going to patent air.
Why not? If nobody's done it, go for it.
And then you can charge people for breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they patented smileys, and so now I'm going to use smileys in everything. Here's, I'm going to put smileys. I'm going to draw smileys. I'm going to get some henna. I'm going to tattoo smileys on my face with henna. I'm going to do everything. It's going to be smileys everywhere. I'm sick and tired of the nonsense of patenting stuff just because you can. I mean, look, we've joked over the years that Microsoft has never actually created anything. It has no innovation. They just take other people's stuff and make it. Now they're like proving it. They're saying, we're even dropping the pretense now. We're patenting stuff that we clearly did not invent. They patented smileys.
There was a similar article about this subject in the Mac industry this week that all the IM clients now, including Apple's iChat and AOL's Instant Messenger, when you type a smiley symbol, colon parenthesis, it turns it into a smiley face.
Right.
Well, what if you're trying to type an equation?
Right.
Or you're trying to type, a formula.
Right. Well, then you turn off smileys.
Right. And in several of the...
I hope the other side turned off smileys, too.
In several of the IM clients, it's very hard to turn off smileys. And it's not just, the frowns and the grins and the winks now. There's hundreds of different smileys that these IM clients use.
Right.
You never know what you're going to type, and it's going to turn into a smiley at the other end.
Now, does that mean one of the smileys is going to look like Bill Gates?
No, we hope not. No, you can already do that. Any smiley, you make smileys with glasses.
Yeah, but no,
geeky glasses,
no, but
smileys.
Now since they're going to hold, the rights to this, are they going to do them with the various Windows logo executives?
Next,
there's one for his wife, for the female side.
Yeah. Their next step would be to sue all the IM clients that are using smileys, and then sue all the users that are using smileys.
Right. So I don't know. I don't know what they're going to plan on doing. I don't get it. But that's one of the things they've patented. Now to the other thing they've patented. This is my favorite. I thought smileys were my favorite. Mm-hmm. Monday, smileys were my favorite thing that Microsoft patented.
What happened Tuesday night?
Tuesday, maybe it was Wednesday. Wednesday, Microsoft put out a brand new patent. At least I heard about it. They actually patented it before. They have patented emphasizing a number by putting a box around it. Yeah, that was kind of my...
Well, that's been standard in newspapers for 150 years.
Not only is it standard in newspapers, but it's how you do things in spreadsheets.
Yeah.
If you want to emphasize a number, you put a box around it. Microsoft just patented that. You can't do it anymore. Hey, Microsoft, I'm doing it right now. I'm typing into my keyboard. I'm writing a number, and I'm going to put a box around it. Come on. Come and sue me. Come on.
Well,
this is the most stupid thing I have ever heard in my life.
We should say that they've filed...
Stupider than smileys.
They've filed a patent application. It hasn't been approved yet.
It's still stupid. The application is stupid. The concept is stupid. The idea is stupid.
If it gets approved, that's even stupider.
The patent process in America is broken. We know that. But it's stupid. It's stupid. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Richard from Hilton. We're going to talk to Dave from Leroy or Leroy. But we'll be back.
Explain what these smileys are when we come back.
Yeah, we'll explain all of that. We'll talk about all that when we come back. I'm Nick Francesco with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
These guys can answer your questions. Back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And just before we get to the phones, we do want to tell you, exactly what smileys are. Steve is putting up a link to Helwig's Smiley Dictionary. It's got a list of all, you know, those are all those little sideways, semicolon, dash.
A lot of people may not remember those.
Yeah.
Yeah, you type right. colon, close parenthesis, and turn your head sideways. It looks like a little smiley face.
Yeah.
Right. IM software in the last, 5 years now,
right.
turns that into a real smiley face.
Right. So you can actually pick them off a list and put in a graphic. But they used to be called emoticons, and they were originally added to the end of text messages. So they're little, they use essentially punctuation to create... smiley faces, originally smiley faces, but now there's all kinds of faces.
Yeah, there's ones gleaming and dancing and bouncing and all.
Right. So there's all kinds of them. There's a list of them at Helwig's Smiley Dictionary. We should let you know, however, that a company called SmileyWorld.com has actually trademarked the term smiley. So it looks like Microsoft's got a fight on their hands already.
Yeah.
They'll just buy SmileyWorld.com. So.
Yeah, I'll probably make them an offer they can't refuse. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's silly. It's the silly season. And
well, they've got nothing else new coming out. I mean, their software isn't due out for another year and a half.
Right.
I think they finally got pressured into doing a service pack or at least an update for Windows 2000.
Right.
Because 98's going away. By the end of this year, you know, I mean, right now you can forget about any updated patches or anything else for Windows 98 because it's just not there. They're forcing you out of the market as far as 98 support because with the newer software coming out, they can't, you know, go have that team supporting 98 any longer because the numbers are dwindling. And they got to put their efforts towards the next generation and getting folks up to speed for Vista.
Right.
Which is going to be the next one coming out, but even though it's not coming out for, like I say, they say a year, but a year and a half.
Easily a year and a half.
So, you know, but the team has to move on. You can only employ so many folks to work on so many different projects and
right.
support them.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's like us trying to have a hotline sitting around for beta.
Right.
You know, how many folks still have – there's probably still folks out there with beta, you know, TV systems.
Beta is still used in professional television. It is a superior technology.
It is a superior technology.
But the helplines and everything else, the support out there for it isn't going to be there. They had to move on to bigger and better things. So this is the same way with the software world, and I can understand that.
Yep. But at any rate, that's – well, in terms of Vista, of course – they've already removed their secure computing base. They've already removed the advanced file system. They've already removed their business framework. So I don't know what's going to be left by the time they send it out, but it'll probably just be Avalon, the little graphical front end. We're going to go to the phones now. The first person we're going to talk to this week is Richard, calling in from Hilton, New York. Welcome, Richard. What's your question?
Smiley, good morning from Hilton. Been using Mozilla Firefox for about 9 months now without any problems. There was a recent update a week or so ago, and I installed that. And since then, I've not been able to get out to the web. I get an alert with the yellow triangle saying the address can't be found. Please check the name and try again.
Was this a Firefox update or a Windows update?
Firefox.
106 came out just a little bit ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, I think.
And you get an alert that says what?
Well, the alert comes up, it repeats the address. In this case, I just happened to put in webay.com, and it says, could not be found. Please check the name and try again.
Well, that's interesting.
Are you using some type of firewall?
I do have Norton 2005 Internet Security.
If you open another browser, it works?
Unfortunately, I have to open up Internet.
Explorer, and that
Explorer,
works.
Explorer, that works, yeah.
What may have happened is that the firewall is blocking Firefox.
The new version of Firefox would have asked.
Have you gone into your internet security for Norton Security and checked, because you did do the upgrade, you know, to 106, and make sure that it's allowing that to get out?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I cleared out the disallow altogether to make sure it wasn't in there with a funny name. I've gone through that whole thing. I just can't find anything.
See, I'm still... I've had more issues with Internet
Norton. Try turning off Norton Firewall temporarily.
I haven't done that.
Try that, and what it sounds like is that the Norton Firewall is preventing you from getting through. So try that.
Or you may also have the Windows Firewall turned on, and so both firewalls are fighting for each other, and it may be turned off in Windows, not Norton.
Right. What version of Windows are you using?
XP.
Yeah, you, that has a firewall as well. So what you need to do is to check both firewalls and first turn off one or the other. You really
Microsoft.
Only need one. Turn off the Microsoft one. And then in Norton Firewall, make sure that Firefox has not been blocked. I think, because I think that's where your problem lies.
And I've run into this with this newer Norton 2005, especially the internet security part. It winds up causing a number of issues, blocking stuff that, oh, before worked fine, now doesn't, you know, and it's causing people a lot of hassles. If they want to get into their banking information and everything else, it's blocking them.
Yeah, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we want more of you to call. We got Dave waiting on the line, and we want more of you to call in at 222-1180, 800-295-1180 if you're outside the 585 area code. And, of course, Verizon Wireless customers can call in at *1180. We're going to take a break back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. Not only that, I'm going to talk a little more. I already talked a little bit about the Renaissance Festival, but I had a great discussion of 21st century technology in a 14th century setting, and I have got to tell you about it because it was
good.
It was incredible what I got to do. Got to hold history in my hands, and we'll talk about that when we come back on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Chet Walker, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We're back, and Dave just pointed out to me, actually, it happened last weekend. We hit 16 years on the air.
Well, even though we usually
counted from Labor Day.
Yeah, from Labor Day.
Yeah, I'm going to go back and check and make sure I've actually done this right.
Because that seems a little soon, but
Yeah, but it could be not entirely correct. Anyway, we're back. We want you to give us a call at 222-1180, 800-295-1180 if you're outside the 585 area code. And, of course, *1180 for you Verizon Wireless customers. In the meantime, we're going to talk to Dave from Leroy or Leroy, New York. Which is it, Dave?
Well, if you're from Leroy, it's Leroy. If you're not from Leroy, it's Leroy.
Yeah, that's kind of the way. My wife is from Leroy.
Ah, congratulations.
Thank you.
And she still married you?
And she still married me. She's made one mistake in life, and I thank God for it every day.
Whoa.
She often says Leroy when we're there and Leroy when we're out here. So I think she's got it knocked. So tell us, Dave, what's up with you today?
I've got a computer that when you start it up, it goes through the cycle, will not go to desktop. You get three error messages when you get to it.
Uh-huh.
Winlog on .exe, entry point not found. Services.exe, entry point not found. And lsas.exe, entry point not found.
Oh, yeah.
And it keeps circling and get X out of them. It goes right around, comes back to them again.
Isn't that special? Thanks for calling.
Yeah, no problem. I'll tell you what I've
done. Oh, you want us to solve it.
You never get to the desktop then.
Never.
Yeah.
I cannot get into safe mode.
You can't do anything.
I cannot do anything.
You
I put
just
the disk
there and
in.
The screen.
I try to reboot from the disk. It will not reboot from the disk.
Yeah, you've got from the floppy disk.
Right.
Ah!
Yeah, you can't.
You just narrowed it down for us.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say it's one of three things.
Yeah,
I was going to say it's a damaged hard drive, but if you can't boot from the floppy, it's probably not that.
Right.
I was
going to
say it's a damaged hard drive controller, but since you can't boot from the floppy, it's probably not that. So that leaves it to be pretty much something along the lines of RAM.
It's specifically a virus. LSAS is a virus.
Yeah, but what OS are you running?
XP Home.
Okay, yeah, you won't boot from a floppy. XP won't boot from a floppy. What he's got to do is like...
You have to create a 98 or ME disk to boot from a floppy.
Oh, right. Yeah, but if it's NTFS, it's still not going to, you know...
Right, then it won't see the hard drive as NTFS.
Now, there's one other item that shows up when it's going through...
it doesn't matter, though, because you've got a virus, and that's going to stop anything and destroy the registry for you.
Well, it figures that the viruses will come out on a Thursday or a Friday.
Well,
yes,
yeah.
They do, sure.
Yeah,
that's when
right.
They plan it, because they know Norton and McAfee and all the others put their virus definitions out on Wednesday.
Exactly, yeah.
So they wait purposely for a Thursday or a Friday, so that way they hope it won't get discovered. You know, it'll make it through the weekend and cause the havoc, because most of the teams, you know, are not as proficient in, you know, finding it on a weekend. as to have the whole team there on it during a weekday.
Well, it must be something new because ABG is on there and it's activated all
the
time.
Well, the LSAS is part of the GoBot worm that was discovered in February of 2004. So if you had a modern antivirus program, it should have caught that. So maybe it snuck in through an old disk you put in, perhaps. So it's you should definitely try to create a boot floppy from a 98 or ME disk and
if it's NTFS, it's not going to find it. The only way I've been able to do it is literally at our shop, we pull the hard drive out, put it on our test bench, which is running Windows XP. And do a full scan.
Or if you have a bootable CD with, like, Norton or one of the other antivirus
programs.
But even
then, the definitions are going to be old.
It'll be old. Well, if it's at least from January of 2004, it should catch this virus and then be able to clean it up enough to get to a desktop to run a current virus scan.
You're in a kind of a pickle. Like I say, unless you can, you know, pull it out and put it on another machine and do a full scan because then it won't get loaded.
Well, wait a minute. He's saying the error is entry point not found. Maybe the virus was there, it was partially removed, and the registry entry for the virus is still there, but the virus itself is gone.
What he's got to do then is make it so it boots from the CD, put his Windows XP CD in there, and try to do a
reinstall. If the file he's finding is LSASS, that's an actual Windows program.
Yeah, it is.
There is a buffer overflow in it, however.
But if it's LSAS.exe, that's a virus.
That's the virus. Yeah. If it's two S's, it's an actual product.
Right.
It's actually part of Microsoft. Anyway, you do need to get it cleaned. And as Dave said, frankly, your best bet is to take it to somebody like Dave who can pull the drive, put it on a bench, safe machine, and clean it up for you.
That's probably the only way we found it.
That's probably your best bet at this point. Our next caller is Rob, patiently waiting on a cell phone. Welcome, Rob. What's your question? Rob, are you there?
Good morning, guys.
Hi there.
Hey,
you're pulled over to the side of the road, right?
Well, I just pulled in the driveway.
Actually. Very nice.
There you go.
Hey, I have, it's our server. It runs Windows 2000 Professional. And no matter how I seem to set up all the settings and control panels, it never goes into standby mode. It never, because what I want it to do is after, 5 minutes, I want it to go back to requiring a password. And I have it set up identical to all of our other machines, but it never goes into standby mode.
Well, that's two completely different things.
Yeah.
Standby mode is when the computer shuts down, but
which
doesn't
is probably
power off.
Not something you don't want a server to do.
Right.
You want the
screensaver to activate and require a password to deactivate the screensaver.
Yes.
Okay. So if you're looking for that in some sort of standby situation, it's good that you didn't get that to work.
I realize that now.
Okay. So what you really want to do is on your system, on the background with no programs, right? On the background, right-click and select Properties.
Okay.
When that comes up, one of the choices will be Screensaver.
Oh, yes. Okay.
There you go. Now pick a Screensaver, and frankly, since it's a server, you just want to go to blank.
Yeah.
Because you really don't want to take up CPU cycles running cutesy pipes and flower boxes and things. And then tell it to wait like 2 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever you want, and click the button that says On Resume Password Protect.
And then go into Energy Saver and turn off all of the energy savers because you don't want your computer shutting down.
Like spinning down the hard drive.
Right, you absolutely don't want that to happen. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes. We're going to have Dave Enright. We're going to have Steve Ray. We're going to have Rob Linton. We're going to have me, Nick Francesco. We want to put you on, too, so give us a call at 222-1180. If you're outside the 585 area code, it's 295-1180. 800-295-1180. If you're a Verizon Wireless customer, that's *1180. When we come back, I promise you, I will talk about discussing 21st century technology in a 14th century setting. I'll talk to you about some of the very cool websites we found from people at the thing, and it's an interesting mix of stuff that we're talking about. We also will talk about, we've got Microsoft's new security program that's been finding.
And we got another announcement. We got to talk.
And we
about
got a here. Very important announcement. Do not miss this announcement. Back in just a couple of minutes on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed sound bites. We're going to go to the phones again. We've got Marcy calling in from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Marcy. What's your question?
I'm trying to figure out why my computer no longer lets me say, I've got Dallas networking.
Right.
And about a month ago, it stopped letting, well, I used to say my passwords. And I just logged in. I'm the only one who uses it. Now, it's taking my password away, grayed out the box, and I can't save it.
When you first
Windows 98?
SC, yes.
When you first turn on your computer, does it ask you to log into Windows?
Yes.
And do you log into Windows, or do you hit cancel?
I hit cancel. I don't need to log in.
Yes, you do.
I do?
You need to log into Windows in order to save your passwords.
Yeah, in Windows 98,
yep.
The same file that keeps your login password keeps all those other passwords. If you don't keep all the, if you don't log in, it has nowhere to put all those other passwords.
And since you're not using a password to log into Windows, it won't let you save any other passwords because it doesn't know if it's really you or someone else
right.
on the computer.
That's one of the things they changed in later versions of Windows. But in 98, you absolutely have to log in order to save your passwords.
Yeah, because cancel doesn't, by canceling versus, just saying okay. The password can be blank.
Right.
You don't even have to have a password in it, but you got to say okay so it knows what file to write it to. Because if you were to look in the, there's a file there, PWL file, that stores all the passwords.
And Marcy, I don't know that we can really emphasize enough. It's time to not be on Windows 98 anymore.
Yeah, it's
gone. It's not getting updates. It's not getting support. And there are a whole lot of things that they've changed for the better in later versions of Windows. Sorry. Our next caller is David, high on a mountaintop in Pennsylvania. Welcome, David.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I was in a store the other day, guys, and I saw for the first time. I know it's not new, probably up there in Rochester, not at all, but I was starting to see some of the 16:9 screens as opposed to the 4:3 screens in terms of monitors and display devices. And in particular, I even saw one on a laptop, which struck me as I had not seen that before. Here's my question. I have an interest in these 16:9 screens because I'm being forced to for the sake of HD TV and
right.
DVD movies. And I don't have the kind of money that's going to buy a special screen, so I'm interested in it as well for my computer. The little laptop they had, which was live, I was able to play with it. The operating system or whatever they were running there was only using the leftmost portion of the screen,
right.
which I consider to be very, unattractive.
Right.
So in a general sense, I'd like to know both for PCs and for the Mac as well, because I'm interested in what operating systems and what browsers might be doing with these wide screens. Is XP, is Vista, does the Mac operating system take account of these and format their output to use the entire 16:9 screen, or
right.
do you just kind of,
when you're using these things
with a computer, do you just lose the right part of the screen?
Right. Before we answer the question, let's explain what David is talking about.
Throwing out terms.
Most screens are what they call 3:4 screens. They're 4:3 screens. They're mostly squarish.
Yeah.
Four by three in terms of dimension. The 16:9 screens are the wide screen like Panavision or like
envelope
size, or when you see letterboxed movie, that's a 16:9 movie and they cut out the top and bottom. You can now buy screens, and if you look at HDTVs, you can see that the screens are actually long and narrow like a movie screen. It's basically the movie dimensions.
Right, and Microsoft's new media software.
Right.
When you buy the complete package with them, that's what you get, is one of those
right.
long envelope
right.
screens.
And in terms of screen geometry, the short answer here, David, and it's really too late for that, I realize. The short answer for that is that in effect, any system will do anything you want it to do. You just have to set it up that way. Now, when you're talking about those long, narrow screens, you want a
wide,
narrow screens.
Because the other big thing
short screens is
right.
what we're really saying.
Yeah, the other thing coming up are portrait screens, which
are
long.
Which is basically one of those turned sideways.
Yeah.
Yeah. But basically, all you have to know is that you need a video card with enough oomph to put out that many pixels. Apple certainly does it. They have laptops to do it. They have desktops to do it.
Like the only screen Apple sells now are widescreen.
Right.
But the neat thing about it is you can watch movies in widescreen, which is nice. But for computer work, you can have two full pages side by side, so you can have two documents open.
Right.
Spreadsheets you can have out to column J or column Z, double figures. And if you're doing graphic design, you can see your image much larger and have room for the extra palette. So it is becoming the wave of the future to have a wide screen.
Yeah, and they'll all do it as long as your video card has enough memory and power to do it, and then you set it up that way.
And a lot
what
of the new screens
you saw in that shop were people who set their thing up stupidly.
Yeah.
And a lot of the new screens also can take television input. You need a different type of connector for HDTV, but they can do that too.
Right. Going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Now, before we get back to the phones, and don't forget, you can join us by calling 222-1180. If you're outside the 585 area code, the Choice 1 toll-free line is 800-295-1180. And if you're a Verizon Wireless customer, of course, it's *1180. But before we go to the phones, we've got folks on the phones. I do want to talk. Microsoft did, I blasted Microsoft about patents. I want to say something nice about them. I want to be both fair and balanced here. So Microsoft has a new security program.
Why?
Actually, they're doing a really good thing. They're called Honey Monkeys. And what they're doing is sending out these automated things to patrol the web and looking for sites that automatically install malicious code on XP systems. So, for example, you can go out to a website if you're not properly protected by your browser or your antivirus software or whatever. You can go to a website that loads code that will damage your machine just by going to the site. You don't have to do anything but hit the site.
Yeah, that's...
Well, Microsoft is going to is trolling the web, is like a spider in the web, just the same way that companies like Google do it all the time to do stuff. So they're crawling the web looking for sites that install that malicious code automatically. In their first month, they found 752 web addresses that could automatically infect unpatched machines.
Yeah.
752 in the first month. They also They also discovered a brand new kind of attack that could, in fact, penetrate a fully up-to-date XP Service Pack 2 system using a previously unknown vulnerability. We'll see that in the next update, I hope.
You know, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. And, I mean, you know, Microsoft tried not to defend them, but, you know, they're trying to have open source code so other developers can write to it. But the other edge of that sword, they're also getting hacked by these other idiots that, you know, like we've been saying in the past, virus writers, that's becoming less and less of an issue.
Right.
I mean, they're still doing it, not as much. Where they're making the money now, these, well, we call them idiots, but they're smartening up.
On the air, that's what we call them.
Yeah, but they're smartening up in that they can write the spyware and the spam and everything else, get through these holes and steal identity, you know, steal personal information. Track where you're going. I mean, there's some of them on there that keystroke one.
Right.
It sits there and writes a file, and it records all your keystrokes. So if you're typing in the password for your bank account and everything else, they can just let that file run, and then it's sent to them, and they've got all your information.
In fact, I've got some information on a couple of those. We'll talk about them a little later. Right now, we're going to go back to the phones. We're going to talk to Joe on a cell phone, also pulled off by the side of the road. Right, Joe?
That's right.
That's what I want to hear.
What do you know, Joe?
Okay, well, basically what I got is I got a system with XP on it, and when I put a floppy into it, it'll read the floppy. And, for example, if I go to Windows Explorer and look at the floppy, when I go back, if I try and change the floppy and put another one in, it tells me it's the same thing as the other floppy. In other words, it locks in the memory of that first floppy. From there on in, short of rebooting the system, that's it. I can't look at another floppy.
You might have a bad floppy drive.
Bad what?
Bad floppy drive.
Well,
I actually had that on one of my customer systems a few months ago.
Believe it or not, you know, I mean,
We hardly ever use floppies anymore, so they shouldn't wear out.
But the thing of it is, though, is floppy disks have gotten so cheap, and so is the material that they use to make them. And before, you know, the material used to be really good. So you could sit there and rewrite to them and erase them and rewrite to them. And it, you know, wasn't that hard on the heads as far as the floppy. But because of the material and everything else has gotten so cheap, you know, it wears on those heads. And a floppy drive that used to last, you know, forever, now with a cheaper floppy disk, don't last as long.
Yeah, what happens here, Joe, is this. When you put in a floppy disk, it's read by the system. When you replace it, there's a refresh that's supposed to happen. And clearly that refresh is not happening. Now, it happens in the drive itself. It also happens on the cable. There's one specific wire in the cable that links your drive to your motherboard that could be that sends that signal. If that's either not tight or that cable, that individual wire is broken, that's what could also be causing the problem. So you can start with replacing the wire, which is a lot cheaper, and from there go on, and if that doesn't work, then replace the drive, which is still not that expensive. So I would try those and see where you go from there. Listen, we got to take a break. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco. And when we come back,
we are
going to give you the single most important announcement you will hear this week. Do not miss it. You are going to hate yourself if you do.
Big time. Big time.
Big time. And you're going to love this announcement when we give it. So don't miss it. We'll be back on the other side of the news and with sound bites here on 1180 on the great, can I say great twice? WHAM.
To America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180, the Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Now,
should we tell?
We could drag it out for another hour, but then we'd be off the air. So it wouldn't be good. Let's talk about this now. We promised you we'd give you the most important announcement you'll hear all week, and this is it. We have, in the past, done road shows and seminars and things like that. We have in the past talked about how to keep your machine clean and do the tango and backing stuff up and everything else. And we've decided to pull all that together with the help of our very good friends
and
at Frontier
sponsors.
And new sponsors. They'll be starting next week. I'm very excited about that. The folks at Frontier. In partnership with them, we'll be presenting a free seminar entitled PC Tips and Tricks, Getting the Most Out of Your PC. We're going to explore cleaning your computer system, keeping it clean, and we mean both physically and data-wise.
Yep.
We're going to talk about backing up data, how and when and where to do all of that. We'll all be there. The Soundbites crew will be there. And when and where? Well, it's this Wednesday night, August 17th. For those of you who are listening to this via podcast, hopefully...
if they get it tomorrow.
Well, right. The deal is this. You have to sign up. But let me finish telling you when and where. It's August 17th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Frontier Learning Center, 3441 West Henrietta Road on the second floor. Now, while this is a free seminar, you do have to register so they know who's coming and how many and all the yada yadas that they do.
That's the old Coho Plaza, right?
No, this is on West Henrietta Road.
West Henrietta Road.
It's between...
You're talking about Frontier Plaza, Plaza, I guess they call it. Commons. Yeah. Frontier Commons, which is on Jefferson.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's between Southtown and Marketplace Malls, next to all the car dealerships right at Jefferson and West Henrietta Road.
But at any rate, you'll find all that out when you get the...
never seen that before.
That's a picture.
I understand that, but I know.
It's a picture. You've never heard
of three of us.
Thank you very much. You've never heard a picture. Well, Rob just came in. He said, we're in the middle of this thing, and
no,
Rob has
just—he's
never looked at the show cam thing. And this is the back when we first started here on Wham. We had this done by a professional photographer, Tom Bell.
Oh,
we did that pose.
I got a bunch of it.
It's been up there for months.
Man, oh man, you just. Can we finish our announcement if that's all right with you?
We'll get back to him later.
Well, see, he never comes on this side of the board.
Right.
And yeah, but he can go that side
never
of the
looks at the website.
Screen.
But all right, that's his business.
Oh,
we're going to, the thing, let me go back to this announcement.
Yeah.
It's Wednesday, August 7th. I was about to say, when did I lose control? But the more important question is, when did I ever have control? It's Wednesday, this Wednesday, August 17th from 7 to 10 p.m., 3441 West Henrietta Road. But you can't just show up. You have to register. They really will turn people away at the door because just showing up is not polite to the people who registered.
100 people?
To 100 people. When it's full, we'll do other ones, I promise. We'll just it's a whole different thing. What you need to do is call in the 585 area code. You need to call 234-0326. That's 234-0326. The number in Bayonne, I don't know. But here in Rochester, it's 234-0326. And, of course, that's the, thank you, 585 area code.
And that is the old, there used to be a Frontier Payment Center there. Now it's just the Learning Center.
It's the Learning Center.
On West Henrietta Road, right near Jefferson, between Southtown and Marketplace Malls.
Yeah, it's right near the, like you said,
and
the car dealership.
You can sign yourself up and you can bring one guest. I don't know quite what that means. Now, if you don't know that number and you've forgotten it, you may find it under the special announcement right near the top of the page on our website, soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. All the information is there. The number you call to sign up, the title, what we'll be talking about, when it is, where it is. We want to make this a total blowout, so please sign up. If you don't get to sign up, if you're bitterly disappointed by the fact that the thing is full, I suspect that this will not be a one-shot event.
No.
So hopefully we'll be doing many, many more of these, and we'll about many other topics as well.
I really like this new hybrid satellite map Google has.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah.
But that's what we're doing, and it's Wednesday night, and we'll all be there, and we would love to see you there. Hopefully you'll get a chance to sign up. Again, like I said, if not for this one, then certainly for the next one, and we'll be doing more of these. We're very pleased. We're delighted. I want to say publicly how thrilled I am that the folks at Frontier are not just becoming sponsors, although that's a wonderful thing in and of itself.
Yes, that's great for
us. But how they're jumping right in with both feet and supporting us so completely. I want to thank those folks. They're great people, and it's nice that they're doing this for us. So her name is Lynn at 234-0326 a call, and if the thing is full, don't be rude to her.
Yes.
It's certainly not her fault. And
don't
and
shoot the messenger.
We'll do another one. So we'd like to tell you that. So please join us. It's going to be way fun. We're looking forward to it.
In fact, what I think I'll do is print off that list for the checklist for folks.
Which checklist?
Lori's.
Oh, I don't have a copy of that, and it's not on the CD that I'm putting together. So.
I will print it off, so more incentive for folks if they want to get their own copy of that.
Perfect. Perfect.
I'll print off a bunch.
All right. So, that'll be excellent, and we'll have all of those things available for you when you show up, and it'll all be good. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
We always have fun with those.
We always have fun. That's right. Here's the point, and I think everybody in the audience needs to understand this. As long as we're having fun, it's been a good night.
Yeah.
That's
nothing wrong with that, but I mean, normally the crowd, you know, comes out, and, you know, they learn something. We even might learn a little something. And, you know, we just wind up answering questions and everything else, and I've yet to be to any function because, we've been doing this over 16 years now.
Right.
Or close to it.
Yeah.
You know, every time we've gone out with different groups, it's always been a great time. I mean, we even took Rob out to the library there with us when we had him going.
And he didn't embarrass. I mean, it was great. We had a good time.
And his mom didn't
Your
pick
mom
on him.
Was there, and she's
course,
a sweetheart.
You know what?
What am I, like a poodle? You're like, we even took Rob out to the library.
Yeah, we took him to the library in his own little basket, and he didn't wet anywhere. It was
but
very nice.
But you know what? He wasn't here the past 2 weeks. And his mom said she was sending more cookies in.
You think he was home eating those cookies all by himself?
He's got his own house.
I can't believe you. That's the lowest thing I've ever
I
heard. Your mom sends us cookies and you keep them for yourself? This is unbelievable. Rob, I'm shocked.
Get over it.
We're going to have to talk to his mom. I got her email address, I can communicate with her.
All right, I'm going to swallow my disappointment by talking to Ron from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Ron. What's your question?
Good afternoon. I got two quickies. One, I got running XP Home and Netscape 7.2, and all my incoming mail is going to my trash. I can't figure out.
That's a blessing.
Pardon me?
That's a blessing. Yeah. You really don't want to read your mail anymore.
You've probably accidentally set up a rule for like junk mail. Junk mail to the trash, and it's catching every mail.
What version of Netscape 7? He said Netscape.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Netscape 7.2.
What version?
7.2? 7.2.
All right. What it is in Netscape, you've got to go up there on the toolbar, and your junk control.
Okay.
You have marked things as being junk. So it automatically, when it comes in, if you've marked an item for junk, it automatically goes to the trash or your junk folder.
So your junk mail filter is too strict and everything is junk.
No, it's not even a filter. Each message that you come in, with Netscape, you sit there and say whether it's junk or not. If you've set junk, marked it as junk, and you've got to go in and then say if you really want to keep it, unjunk it.
So just where it says.
Go into the trash and then say that it's not junk. So the next time that message comes in, it'll stay there. Any of the others, you can sit there and set it up as junk.
Yeah, what happens is this, Ron. When you use a product like a Netscape 7.2 or of course, Mozilla Thunderbird or whatever, you need to train it to understand junk mail, but you train it in two ways. You not only teach it what is junk, you also need to teach it what's not junk.
Okay,
so you need to go into your trash and unmark the things that really are not junk. And over time, it will learn those as well. You need to do both.
Will it automatically go to the inbox?
Once it's no longer labeled as junk, it should be going to the inbox. Yeah.
And that's the whole big problem with junk mail filters. What is junk? You might think something is junk that it doesn't. It might think something is junk that you don't.
Right.
And one of the big things that we've seen a lot, especially with company mail, a lot of companies now stick a disclaimer at the end of every email message, the views expressed here are this person and not the whole company. And one of the things that junk mail filters look for is repetitiveness in a message.
Right.
So by seeing this, a signature, and even people put their own signatures on email.
Right.
By seeing the repetitiveness of that signature, it automatically marks it as junk. So you need to turn your to tell your junk mail filter that isn't junk.
Well, everything that's coming in is going to trash.
Right, because the junk is being thrown in the trash and thinks everything is junk.
Have you tried to create a filter yourself?
No, I have not.
Okay, because that's the other problem.
In Netscape 7.2, you don't actually create the filter because that's what I use, and it's under the junk control, and you have full control. You can sit there and tell it to throw it into the trash, and if you wanted to keep it so many days, you can. You can mark it. Once you mark something junk, tell it what folder you actually want it to go to.
One of the features that a lot of mail programs has is something called rules, so that if I get a message from Mary, it goes into Mary's folder. From John,
Outlook
it goes
Express,
into John's folder.
Yeah.
And some people, the way those criteria work are generally set for all messages. So if you accidentally try to create a junk mail filter, if it contains Viagra, move it to the trash folder. It's very easy to accidentally move all messages to the trash folder, not just the specific message.
Yeah, so check your trash folder, and any message that you don't want, you'll see a little trash can next to it.
Right.
You select that message, and then up on your top of your toolbar, you say, not junk. From there on in.
Thank you.
It will automatically do it for
you. Okey-doke. Thanks, Ron. Our next caller is Ted from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Ted. What's your question?
Hello. I've got a question regarding PDF files.
Yes.
When PDF went from version 4 to version 5, there was a noticeable increase in how long it took to load. When they went from version 5 to version 6, it really takes a long time to load, even with my fastest computer is 2.2. gig with a 1,000 meg of RAM, so
right.
I'm assuming that there's some functionality that they're adding. But
lots of it. Lots and lots of functionality. There are things you can do now with PDFs that go way beyond just the silliness of just reading a message. You can fill out forms now. You can do pretty much everything. You can link to web pages. You can do everything. So they've added huge amounts of functionality to PDF.
One of the things you can do to speed up how fast Acrobat loads is remove some of the plugins from Acrobat.
Right.
So then it may not be able to let you fill out a form, but if you don't care about filling out forms, Acrobat loads a lot faster. And that's in the Acrobat Reader folder. There's a plugins folder.
Right, so, and that's part of
and
those
seven,
extra functionalities are plugins.
Reader 7 is a bit faster. I noticed that a lot from 5 to 6, and 7's a lot faster, almost as fast as 4 used to be.
Right. We're going to take a quick break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. When we come back, finally, I am going to talk about discussing 21st century technology in a 14th century setting, and because it is a great story and I don't want to miss it, we've got Bill from Rochester on the line. Give us a call. It's Soundbites at 1180 WHAM.
Wham's Glenn Beck.
Ed Rendell, the governor, has come out. I am.
Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Now, I promise you, we'll get back to the phones, but I promise you I was going to talk about 21st technology
cool
in a 14th century setting. I'm going to do it. What happened was this. First, there were a couple of people who talked to me. I told you about the guy with the Linux and the open source stuff. But, mm-hmm. but my favorite was there was an armorer there, and we were talking about armor. And he was making very light armor. And I said, oh, so this is real armor. And he said, oh, you know about this. Because, you know, the stuff that, you know, you see these guys in the reenactments, and they whack at each other for like 5-6 hours. It's not how it worked in the real world. The whole idea behind armor was maybe a guy gets 1-2 free shots until you turn around and kill him.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. And battles didn't last 5, 6, 8, 10 hours. They were
minutes.
And the armor was low. Well, anyway, so we're talking about this stuff. He says, here, take a look at this. He hands me a war axe. I said, man, this looks old. Because he was making all this armor. I said, how'd you make it look so old? He said, this war axe is 425 years old.
And he had it there at the Renaissance?
Yeah.
And he handed it to someone?
And he handed it to me. I'm holding a piece of history in my hands. And then he hands me a war hammer. And he says, take a look at this. I said, this is unbelievable. It's hand welded. And he said, yeah, this one is 535 years old.
Why aren't they in a museum?
He had just bought them, and he was bringing them around the country. This is what he does. He goes around the country to Renaissance fairs. He was carrying them with him. It's his stuff. 535 years. I thought, man, that's older than all of us put together, including Rob.
Yep.
And it's just, but I thought, it's history in my hands. And I said, where did you get this 535 years old? Naturally, he answered, eBay. He bought it on eBay. I said, You bought it on eBay?
Wait a minute.
Look, there are people who find these things in their attics. They have no idea what they have. They want to get rid of it. They want to buy, like, a TV that's going to last them, you know, 2 years. So they sell something that's 535 years old. He says, I buy all of this stuff I can find on eBay. He says, if they're just going to, I mean, it's history, and they're throwing it away. I thought, how amazing is that? A Warhammer, 535 years old, went through real wars, you know, real history.
Sold it on eBay.
History, and somebody sold it on eBay. It's just astonishing to me. There really isn't anything you can't find on eBay, apparently.
Authenticity on this?
Yeah. Well, I mean, as far as they can get, but the guy basically, since he goes around the country, he says, let me look at it, if he can get to the area, and then he knows what he's looking at. I mean, it's not a pick and poke
for him. Yeah, but carbon dating and all that.
Right. Well, he can tell, these guys can tell from the way it's manufactured and stuff like that.
I always like those stories on the Antiques Roadshow, you know, this has been in my family for generations, Davy Crockett used it at the Alamo, and then the expert looks at it, turns it on, you say, now here you can see the Made in China sticker on there, and over here you can see the latex paint, and the guy always storms off and won't believe it.
Right. No, but this guy, it was quite astonishing. Anyway, back to the phones. We're talking to Bill from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
Thank you for taking my call. Great
Thank
show,
you for
guys.
Calling.
Windows XP Home Edition. I was on a service call with a Microsoft tech a while back, and I recall them taking me through a procedure where I reset my computer to a previous date.
Yep.
And I lost those instructions step by step, and I was wondering if you folks knew how to do that.
Well, you can go very easy. If you go to the start, go up to accessories, into systems.
Okay.
And you'll see one of the utilities there is system restore.
Okay.
And that'll bring up a calendar, you know, opens up a screen once you click on that icon, and you can, you know, pick a different date and time.
Okay, now you do lose, when you go to reset, you do lose anything in between those dates, correct?
As far as program-wise, yes.
Okay.
Because it's literally a picture of the registry. And the registry, you know, is a snapshot of all the programs installed. Now, here's the thing. Say I put... I pick a point in time, and then I install this program and say PowerPoint, and I created a file. All right, it might not know when I, you know, go back to the point in time, say before PowerPoint was installed, you know, I wouldn't have that feature there. But the actual file in the a PowerPoint presentation would still be there. It just loses records of the actual program in the registry.
Well, what happened was my Foxfire. I was on the computer the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I shut down and then went back on about 2 hours later, and the Foxfire screen didn't come up. And what came up was a little gray box with a default message, and I had to go in and reset up the Foxfire and go through all the folders and set it up, and I lost all my bookmarks. Everything's gone, and I don't know how to get it all back.
Right.
So
you're talking about programs, because programs go into the registry.
Okay.
So if you set back to a previous date before you installed a program, it is gone, because unfortunately the registry gets changed.
Yeah, Windows doesn't know you ever.
In terms of documents, which is what Dave was talking about, just a simple document like you wrote a letter.
Right.
That letter will still be there. You just lose it from your list of recent documents, but the letter itself is still there. But in terms of programs, you're right. They disappear because they're no longer installed.
Okay.
I've posted the link to the Microsoft Knowledge Base article on how to do the system restore. But the one thing we should also
It's also on the Security Tango on the table.
Well, one of the problems with System Restore is that viruses and spyware can also hide in your System Restores.
Yeah. Right.
So one of our recommendations on Security Tango is turn off System Restore to prevent this problem, but then in some cases other problems that might have been correctable you can't correct because that System Restore is off.
Right.
So it's a danger because that's where the viruses can live, but it can help you if things get really screwed up.
Right.
So it's one of those double-edged swords, going back to your armor.
Double-edged sword.
Perfect. Double-edged sword, yeah.
Excellent. All right. Give us a call, please. Remember, we're at 222-1180. If you're outside the 585 area code, it's 800-295-1180. And if you're a Verizon Wireless customer, it's *1180. Our next caller is Roger. Roger from Irondequoit. Welcome, Roger. What's your question?
Well, having a problem on... apparently a conflict between Microsoft anti-spyware program and my Norton Internet Security, especially the firewall.
Mm-hmm.
When I attempt to update manually the Microsoft anti-spyware, it will give me a window asking me for permission to let it out onto the net. I click yes, and then it just locks up right at that point. I hit Control-Alt-Delete, and I get a message that the program is not responding. If I hit End Program, it will not end the program. If I attempt to do a restart on the computer, it won't let me do that until the program ends. The only way I'm able to do it is actually manually shut off the power at my surge suppressor and restart.
Yep. Like I said, you know, we had another caller a little while ago talking about the Norton security. And when you have two different people trying to control the same thing, you're going to run into problems. Mainly being this Microsoft software that you're trying to use, it wants to control its own system. Mm-hmm. And then you introduce, because Microsoft also has a built-in firewall.
Right, that is turned off.
But then Norton trying to guard itself against, you know, things coming in and going out and everything else, you've got basically two programs trying to control the operating system.
We should also point out that the Microsoft anti-spyware is a beta program. It yep. is known to be defective. It will crash. It will stop working because that's what a beta is. It's a test version.
Okay, now what I've done, though, is I, while listening to the show today, removed it from the computer, reinstalled it, and I also went into my program control and ran a program scan and redid everything there.
Okay.
Now I'm just going to Microsoft, and what it's doing, even though I checked for access, all of a sudden Norton has got Microsoft anti-spyware main permit all, Microsoft anti-spyware.
Yeah, but Roger, you may find
block all yes, on you, service user interface.
Yes, and this is part of what we said before. Microsoft antivirus is a beta product.
Anti-spyware,
is a beta product. And so
when it doesn't work, don't be surprised.
Yeah, there's it may well just simply not be working in and of itself. We can't support a beta product because we don't know enough about it.
Right, and uninstalling and reinstalling it isn't going to do you any good. The best thing to do is just uninstall it. Forget about it until, you know, they hammer it out and actually bring it out and see how much they're going to charge for you. Because basically they're using you as a beta tester and hoping that they can find out more problems
right.
with
That's
it.
One of the reasons that on the Security Tango website, we're recommending other products because the Microsoft anti stuff just isn't quite there yet.
Yeah, if you know what you're doing and you know you want to test software and you know it may not work and you feel good about reporting problems to Microsoft, yeah, go ahead and run it. But expect it to fail and expect it to cause other problems.
Right, right. That's very true. All right, now before we go anywhere else, let me give you the phone numbers again. Before we go back to the phones, at 222-1180, if you're outside the 585 area code, it's 800-295-1180. If you're a Verizon Wireless customer, it's Star 1180. I want to talk about a toy that I got this week.
You talked about this before, but you actually got one.
I love this thing.
This is cool.
Imagine a cube. What? Imagine it's about 1 inch square.
Yeah.
Now imagine it's an MP3 player. Now imagine it holds a gigabyte of memory.
But it's got a screen.
And it's got a screen, and it's got a click wheel, and it's got other buttons. It's got a microphone. It's got an FM radio. It's got everything. It only costs $129. It's from a company called Moby Blue, and we will talk about it when we come back after this break with Dave Enright, Steve. What happened? What are you saying?
It was sound effects music. You're not supposed to take a break yet.
Well,
you know,
when
you're
you
like,
put
you're
music
like,
on
you're like, and imagine a cube. Oh, imagine a cube. Doing
now,
this.
Now, had you put on also Spock Zarathustra because it was 2001
what?
A Space Odyssey, then it would be imagine
well,
a slab. Oh, I see.
Me
well, then
for
I'll
living.
Just keep talking about it.
Do nice. It again. Do the imagine a cube.
Imagine a cube. Imagine it's only 1 inch square. Imagine it's your father. Sorry. It's called Moby Blue, and you can look at it at MobyBlueAmerica.com. That's B-L-U without the E. It's Moby Blue, B-L-U-America.com. It's the DAH-1500i. That's the version they're selling here in America. It's an MP3 player. It's got an OLED display. It's a USB flash drive. It's got an FM radio built in. It's a digital voice recorder. It does SRS WOW surround sound. It weighs 18 ounces, for heaven's sake. And it's unbelievable. You can see it on their site. I have one sitting in my hands. It's phenomenal.
Until your daughter gets a hold of it.
Until my daughter gets a hold of it, I'll never see it again. It's got a built-in clock. It's got a rechargeable battery. It does everything you want an MP3 player to do. It's only an inch square. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, but the one thing with that, like you said, though, is you got to keep the headphones hooked to it, because otherwise, that's so small, you could lose it.
Yeah, yeah, it's the truth. That's the one thing that's kind of wrong with it. I can do 520 minutes of voice recording on this thing. It's a phenomenal piece of equipment. The only part that I don't like about it, that I thought it did when I first read about it, that it doesn't do, is I can't, it's got a clock in it, but I can't see the clock unless it's turned on. So what I'd love to do is actually use it as a pocket watch. You know, just open it up, hit a button, and then up would come the time. I'd love to see that in a fix, because it is is updatable, software updatable.
See,
I'd love to see that as a fix.
They call cell phones?
Yeah.
And they have a clock in them?
Yeah, well, the problem is, if you've ever seen my cell phone, the front panel is, when I bought it, it was this way, I just never noticed it, is a little loose, so dust has gotten underneath, and I can't see the front display anymore.
They have this place called Tech Service?
Yeah, they won't fix it. They said that's not something they fix. So I'm
bummer.
Well, it stinks to be me. But at any rate, I've got this little Mobi Blue, and what I'd love to see, what I'd actually love to see, is in the form factor of a pocket watch. But until they give you that, that would be so cool. Anyway, this is a great little product. It's Mobi. It's only $130 for the 1 gig model. You can get them all over the place. I guess you're selling them at
Walmart or
something.
It's a cute little toy, though.
It's a great toy, and I just wanted to tell you that if you're looking for a little music player. That, you know, you don't need or want to spend the money for an iPod or one of those. You should take a look at the Mobi Blue Cube. It's a phenomenal product. I'm very impressed for it. You can buy it locally at various superstores, like the W Place, and you can just get these things. They're very neat. It's a very neat toy. I have one, and I'm in love with it. It's great. It's the wow factor alone. The factor alone.
They sit there, like you say, is 1 gig.
Yeah.
And
it's got a little hook on the back so you can stick it to your like keychain or whatever. It's very cool. It's a very cool product. Mobi Blue America.
And the thing is, yeah, it can bounce around.
Yeah.
Kind of similar to Apple's iPod Shuffle. They've got a half gig model for $100 and a 1 gig model for $130.
Right.
It's the size of a pack of gum.
Right. Same idea, only if this is in a cube.
In a cube instead of a rectangle.
Can I say something? You just had two very interesting listeners call up. One guy called up and said, imagine if you sat on it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, particularly me. Absolutely.
No, because of the pointy edges. He was getting a little dirty with the comment.
Yes. Oh, I see what he's saying. But it does have a little, it's called the cube cage, and it's a little rubber cage that you put it in that protects those edges,
Somebody else wanted to know what country it was made in.
I doubt it was made anywhere but overseas. I'm sure.
Let's find out.
I'm sure. Anyway, we're going to go back to the phones now. Or is that the break? See, let's work on communication during the break, okay? I don't know what you made in Korea. There you go. We're going to take a quick break.
Thank you. There we go.
We're going to take a quick break.
I don't understand that one.
It's the Hyunwon Company. Hyunwon. Yeah.
Right. We're going to take a quick break, back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob, Mr. Communication Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wow. Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Nice find. This music is in honor of the fact that I am currently missing the Night Court Marathon on television. I'm a huge fan of the show. What a great show. And
it was on for 9 seasons.
Yeah, it was on for 9 seasons. Well, they had great, great, great writers and funny people and a good ensemble cast. I loved that show, and it's on in marathon today, and I tore myself away to come here. I admit it.
Are you taping it?
No.
Why not?
Because I'm an idiot.
Oh, yeah.
Anything else?
Anything done by Reinhold Wiege.
Anything done by Reinhold Weege is a good product. We're going to go back to the phones now and talk to Bob from Rush, New York. No, from Rochester, New York. Oh, that's a Roch. We are, not only are we working on your verbal and nonverbal communication skills.
How long have I been doing this with you?
We're going to work on your writing, your handwriting.
I have a response.
This is not Palmer Method.
I have a response to that, but we'd probably get sued, so I'll keep it to myself.
You'd get sued. We didn't have anything to do with it. The worst thing I've said on the air is hackaroonies. Bob, welcome to Rochester, New York. I don't know when you moved from Rush, but I'm glad you're here up in the city. And why don't you tell us what your computer problem is?
Just a question I have is I go to do the Tango, and I go to do Stinger, and the page I go to says it was last updated May 2nd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, is that old?
Yes, and in fact, the Tango Let's Dance page actually talks about that.
Okay.
I get this question all the time, and I think it's right there on the page.
They usually do it about every month.
No. Here's the thing. All the Stinger does, it's a utility that looks for between 50 and 55 viruses that would turn off your Norton, your McAfee, or your AVG or anything else.
The most
thing
insidious.
Of it is, though, is there hasn't been any new viruses out there, like we
that
said.
That do that.
Viruses are on the decline. So if there's nothing new to, you know, that's going to shut those off, then they don't have to update it. It's okay. Only a utility that will check for those programs. Otherwise, you know,
right.
If your antivirus
no
is updated,
that,
run that.
Right. If there's no new program that kills your antivirus program, Stinger won't be updated. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't have it and you shouldn't run it.
They did
it
have.
It just means there isn't anything new.
Right.
The last big update for Stinger was they had to change the name of Stinger, and now it's Stinger with hyphens between the letters, because a virus came out specifically attacking Stinger.
Right.
But the thing of it is, though, is if you got your antivirus and it's updated, you know, you look at the definition files, it's a current date, you don't have to run Stinger. You can just run your normal antivirus, which will check for 172,000 viruses.
Yeah, I don't mind running it just in case. But there's that security blanket that you probably don't need to bother with.
Yeah, we don't even bother. Yeah. I mean, as long as I see their definitions are up to date, I run a full scan. I mean, I do a thorough scan on not only programs and files.
Right. And that can take hours.
That can take hours.
Oh, yeah. Well, you clean out. Here's one of the tips that I'll share with folks to cut their scanning down and virus scanning down is one of my tips is to eliminate all the temp files. The other thing is you definitely want to go into the control panel under Internet Options and delete all your temporary Internet files. Those two items, you will be surprised on the amount of time it will reduce your, whether it's Norton, McAfee, or anything else, from scanning. It will reduce it greatly. So before
they might
run
take
a
off
scan,
100,000 files.
Yeah. Clear those two out, and you'll definitely wind up
save
reducing your scan time.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Chris from Rod, or Roke, or Rock, or possibly Roch, and Ed from Fairport, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180. Look at the face on 1180 WHAM.
What a place. Answering your computer questions for over 15 years. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. My daughter comes upstairs. I was playing air guitar just now, and Rob was giving me a face. My daughter comes upstairs last night whining and holding her hand. I said, "What happened?" You said, "I just had a horrible air guitar accident." She was playing air guitar in the kitchen and wanged her hand on the counter.
Ouch.
Yep-er. These things happen. These things happen. It's a tough life being a rock star in your head. Our next caller is Chris from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Chris. What's your question?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
It is
long-time listener.
Thank you.
First-time caller.
Perfect.
Windows 2000.
Yeah.
Windows update not working.
Yeah.
Interesting problem. It seems to scan the computer fine. It comes back and says the updates are there. Hasn't worked probably in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But when you tell it if it comes up in the taskbar with the small symbol,
yep,
and you say go ahead and download, it'll sit there at 0% for a long time, then disappear and never actually do the updates. When you go and look in the history file, it just says the updates failed and gives one of those wonderful cryptic Windows 16-digit numbers or whatever.
Yeah, well, there are a couple of problems here. Microsoft's been having some trouble with their updaters, and in addition...
imagine that.
Yeah, and in addition, of course, they're not interested in supporting Windows 2000 anymore.
Yeah,
and
I did submit a request to their site last night.
Yeah, and the third thing is, if you've... There are certain firewall programs that will block Microsoft Update.
NIS 2005. Is what's running out.
There you go.
Yeah.
We're finding lots of problems with Norton 2005.
Interesting. I have disabled it, but not totally disabled.
No.
Totally disable it and see if the updates work. That's the first step. And then let us know. You know, get in the forums and give us an idea of what that did for you.
But I guarantee you that's stopping them.
Yeah.
Internet
sure.
Explorer.
Let's start there.
Yeah, I mean, Norton is causing a lot of havoc.
Yeah.
I mean, this 2005.
It's the security. You want your computer to be secure, unless you don't.
But the best way to be secure is not be able to get on the internet.
But Norton goes the other way.
Yeah. Our next caller is Ed from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Ed. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Was wondering, I'm having problems with the video that comes up from my DVD player, and also in MPGs. It seems washed out. But I can't get any color with it.
Well, that has to do with your card. You need to have a high number of colors on your card. You can look at that again by right-clicking on the background of your system, picking properties, and then selecting settings from the tabs. And
at least 16
color. Yeah, look at the color quality. The number of colors you need to view Windows and the number of colors you need to get realistic color in a video, you need much higher number of colors for the video, and that's the problem. Looks like we're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. We'll see all of you next week on Soundbites. And don't forget to come and see us Wednesday on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.